Jesus' house.
Amen.
God's fire is burning in our hearts, Lord. Burn us even more. Show us of your glory. We want to see your glory as never before. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Lass uns nochmal zurückkommen zu der Gliederung.
To the outline.
Und zwar Römisch 2,
der
Wirbelsturm, die Wolke, das lodernde Feuer, der Glanz und das Elektrum. Lob den Herrn.
Wir haben viel gesehen.
Das müssen wir auch in der Gemeinde heute sehen. Damit das Werk des Herrn vorangehe, müssen wir unbedingt etwas sehen. Alle, die den Herrn benutzt haben, um sein Werk voranzubringen, haben alle eine Vision. Wir können nicht für den Herrn arbeiten, ohne eine Vision, ohne eine himmlische
Vision.
Petrus, Jakobus, Johannes, sie haben auch eine Vision gesehen, auf dem Berg.
They all saw a vision on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Hat eine Vision gesehen. Wir haben gesehen, Petrus in Joppa, er hat auch eine Vision gesehen.
Peter, when he was in Joppa, he also saw a vision when the Lord opened the door. When the Lord wanted to open the door to
Johannes,
the nations,
natürlich.
John, of course, saw such a wonderful vision.
Und alle Propheten,
thank you. Sorry. All the prophets in the Old Testament, Moses, he also saw a vision. Noah, God showed him what he wanted to do.
Abraham had a vision.
Abraham had a vision. Jacob had a vision. The prophets, they all saw a vision. When we do not have a vision, and when the Lord does not open the heavens to us, then how should we know what the next step should be? What is the Lord going to do in Stuttgart? There's so much to do here in the church in Stuttgart, for instance. And we're remaining here in Plieningen. It's nice. It's nice to remain here in Plieningen. Isn't it nice here? Yes. It's so nice to remain here in Plieningen. But there's so much to do in the entire city of Stuttgart. Have we already conquered Stuttgart? The Lord would like to conquer Stuttgart. This vision in Ezekiel shows us that our God is a mighty God. He's a dynamic God, full of power, just like a hurricane. What we saw this morning, he's like a whirlwind from the north. That means it comes from God. Out of heaven, from God. It's not a strange kind of a power, and it's not a natural power from us. We do not need our natural strength. And of course, God cannot use our natural strength, otherwise in the end it will be a total tohu-bohu. What will be a total chaos. What we people can do is fully useless for God. That's why this whirlwind came from the north, from God. All our strength, all our visions, no strange visions. I know many people who have very strange visions, they have dreams, I don't know what they dreamt. It's all nonsense. No. Among us here in the churches, if we do have a heavenly vision from him, the Lord would also confirm it. You also have the Spirit within you. I think if I tell you some strange vision today, you would throw me out the window. We have enough windows here. Do not think for a moment that we do not have eyes in the churches. Look around. There's so many saints in this room. Do not think for a moment that we just listen and accept everything without to test or to check against the Word, whether it's written in the Word, without any confirmation in our spirit. No, there are enough strange visions, but we do not want that. We want to see that which God has shown in His Word a long time ago. Unfortunately, we don't have the eyes to see, but we trust these strange dreams, and each one has his own stream. We do not need that. The vision, the revelation that God wants to show us actually is already written in the Word. The Lord has to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Otherwise, in the end, we'll be strange. And we would destroy the church. And so here we can say, the Lord has shown us such a clear vision, our God. When our God works, He does not work in a small way, so without any strength, without any might. No, He doesn't do that. Of course, man with his organization and his flesh can do a great work, but that is not what God wants to do. Definitely not. Many people like to use what is written in 1 Kings about Elijah. He saw a strong wind and God was not there. Do you not know the word? And then he saw a great earthquake and he looked and God was also not there. And then what did he experience? He experienced a quiet and a meek voice. And that's why people, everybody says that, you see, when God speaks, He speaks with such a meek and gentle voice. Is that how the Lord speaks to you? If you read more closely in the context, Elijah was not in a good situation. Jezebel had made him to be like a little snail. It was very strange. Elijah, he was a bold, a courageous man, wasn't he? He was a wild one. Just like John the Baptist. Don't you know John the Baptist? He was so bold. He was very bold. And Elijah was also very bold, right? We have an Elijah here. Elijah. Our brother here is called Elijah. I like this name. You know, with there were hundreds of prophets and of Baal. He challenged them. He did not. He was not afraid of them. He even mocked them. Come, I'll give you the priority. You can go to Baal, your idol, and to see what he can do. Yeah, you know the story. And nothing happened. And he mocked them, laughed at them. And then he offered his sacrifice to the living God. And he even filled the trench around the altar with water. And the living God consumed everything. And then Israel realized that Jehovah was the living God. He was so bold. There was a whirlwind there. It was not a meek and gentle voice. It was so wonderful. It was a wonderful challenge. But then thereafter, Jezebel heard about it and threatened to kill this man. He wanted to kill Elijah. And to my surprise, Jezebel made this prophet into something like a little snail. He was like a lion previously, and now he's like a little snail. He crawled back into his little house, into his shell. He no longer heard this whirlwind, this voice of the Lord, this challenge. He should have told Jezebel, "What? You want to kill me? My God will make you food for the dogs. Do you think that this living and glorious and mighty God, that this mighty God could not save him?" That was a big mistake of his. Somehow, he lost this vision of the glorious God just because of some threat from a woman. And shortly thereafter, God replaced him with Elijah. It doesn't mean that God just set Elijah aside, but his work and his commission was over then. It was over. And it is with this background that he no longer heard or saw this whirlwind and this wind and the storm. And he only heard a very meek and quiet voice. Is it Elijah? What are you doing here? He was hiding himself. And then he complained, "Yes, I did so much for you, and this woman wants to kill me." And how is it with us today? After many challenges, many difficulties, many problems, this and that, we became like snails. Have we lost our courage? We're no longer so bold like Elijah was. Previously, we were like Elijah in his latter years. We must be like Elijah, who was so bold. He commanded fire from the heavens. He experienced that. But sometimes we forget it so quickly. We forget this vision so quickly. Especially here in Europe, 40 years have passed by. 40 years. I'm not here for a conference. Truly so. It's not a matter of knowledge here. But I like to see that the fire of the Lord for the building of His church, that it would once again burn here in Europe, then our young people would not turn into snails. Are you a snail or are you that lion? For the enemy. With these four living creatures, there was no snail. Oh, Lord, the Lord is our strength. He is our courage. We don't need to have any fear. We have a glorious goal ahead of us, and the Lord has shown us so much. And for that, we can give ourselves. And surely, at this time, Ezekiel was somewhat down and discouraged, without any courage, because he saw so much. He saw so much. He was without hope. Then the Lord appeared to him. God had to show him this glorious vision so that he could stand up on his feet again. Our young people must know that this work is God's work. It's not man's work. We're not so capable to do such a work. The Lord has revealed so much to us, and I'd like to testify to you that it's worthwhile for you to give yourselves once again for this work of the Lord. We have to see this whirlwind. Our God, in His movement, He's like a whirlwind, like a hurricane, like a tornado. Read the newspaper, read it in the internet. 2-3 days ago, there in Dallas, Texas, there were 2 tornadoes which destroyed a lot. No one could withstand it. Do you think that when God works, that the enemy can withstand it? That would be a joke. That is truly a joke. God has done so much, even among the people of Israel then. Who slaughtered all of God's enemies? Do you think it was Moses or Joshua? Who did it? It's the mighty God. Right? Who divided the Red Sea so that they could go through? That was a great and mighty work of God. From the very beginning to the end, God did everything for His people. And in the entire book of the Acts, do you think it was the apostles who accomplished the work? No, they would tell you it was God Himself, the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And in Revelation chapter 4, we see the 7 spirits of God before the throne of God were like 7 flames of fire. They were burning, and they're still burning today. When we say that we have the Spirit in us, what kind of a spirit is it? Is it a cold spirit? A lukewarm spirit? What does the Scripture say? Be how? Be burning in spirit. We have to be burning. We have to see this. Praise the Lord. Oh Lord, go on with us. The Lord has to awaken us so that His work can go on. Amen. Now, let's see here the whirlwind. Amen. The cloud, His presence. The presence of the Lord is very important. The Lord has to be our reality. It's not that, oh, we believe, yes, the Lord is with us. No, we have to experience this. The cloud shows the presence of God with His people. And the fire, praise the Lord, all these verses here, you would Notice that the holiness is important. We cannot underappreciate this. The church life without holiness does not work. Do not think, oh yes, we have a life, and if the life grows, the young people would then become holy just like that by themselves. No, 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 that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, pursue holiness, pursue sanctification. Because without the holiness, without sanctification, no one can see God. So you have to pursue it. If our young people in the church live like the people, young people in the world, do you think we can still say that this is the house of the Lord? That cannot be true. We must be totally different from the people in the world, especially our young people. What does John say? John said, I write to you, young men. Why? How? You still have to grow? What did he say? He says, because you're strong. Do you think that young people could be strong? Oh, it's the older ones. Oh, we can be strong. But young people, can you be strong? But that's what the Bible says. I write to you, young ones, because you are strong. And you have overcome the evil one. Can you do that? Can you do that? Amen. Of course you have to say amen. He can quote the Bible, but he does not have the assurance. Young people must be strong. And the word must dwell in you richly. The world, to overcome the evil one and to live a holy life, just like Joseph in Egypt. Just like how the people of God should be. If our young people in the church are like the people in the world, then we are spiritually bankrupt. We're bankrupt. Would it be a glory to the Lord? Would that be a glory to the Lord? No, it will be a shameful to the Lord. So in this picture of a glory, you have to see this flashing fire. And we, as saints in the church, we have to be buried through and through. Be tried through fire. Did not Peter also say that our faith has to be tried by fire? So that in the end, how? It will be more precious than gold and silver. Oh Lord, we love your fire. We love your fire. Or are you afraid that your young people would miss the world, or miss out in the world? Oh, they have to experience something in the world. They're young people. They have to experience the world. Yes, go into the world and experience in the world. What would you experience in the world? Later we will see what is there in the world. If you know that in Egypt, in the river Nile, you know that of the river Nile in Egypt, it's a nice and big river. They were proud. They boasted about this river. But if you know that within this river there's a monster, there's a crocodile, 7 meters long and 1 meter wide, do you not believe that there's such a big crocodile? Last year when I was in the Philippines, it was written in the newspaper that in the river in Palawan, they found a crocodile. It was 7 meters long. They caught it. And this crocodile had already swallowed so many people. They caught this crocodile, and then there are two of them. They're still looking for the second one. It would soon get into the World Book of Record. It would be printed there. If you know that there is such a crocodile there, would you be swimming in there? Of course you can go and swim there. Then you're not smart. We have to learn, young people, to lead a holy life for the Lord. The Lord had commanded. It's a command of the Lord. Be holy as I am holy. This is a command from the Lord. It is not an asking. It's not a request. You do not have a choice. The Lord does not give you a choice. He said, be holy. Of course you can say, I don't want to. That's your choice. But when you want to behold the glory of the Lord, you cannot just simply ignore this point. He saw, in the midst of this cloud, there's a flashing fire. It's burning, it's hot. And it was so strong and so hot that there's a brightness about it. This brightness, it was gleaming. If the fire is not so strong, then it would not be so bright and gleaming. But because this fire is so strong, the flashing fire, and there's much brightness all around, much light all around. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Praise the Lord. In the church, we all must see this. Don't say, oh, yes, doesn't matter. Oh, the young people. Please. Do not say that. But much more, you need to learn. Lord, I want to sanctify myself much more. You have to tell the Lord, Lord, you have been made sanctification unto me. You are my sanctification. Here in the house of the Lord, sanctification is a characteristic that has to be present. It cannot be lacking. It cannot be lacking because our God is holy. Surely He would not dwell in a place that is not holy. Would you, Elijah, live in a house that stinks? No. You see? If all kinds of things would go on in the house of the Lord, do not say, oh, we're too strict here in the church, that people would run away. Let them leave. Let them run away. then you don't belong in the house of the Lord. Would you like to run away? No one would stop you. No one. Really so. In the church, we truly have this liberty. No one would force you. But if you want to stay here, then you have to learn that the church, the house of the Lord, is holy. God is manifested in the flesh. That's what Paul said. And Paul wrote, if I would delay and I cannot come to you immediately, that's why I write to you, Timothy, so that you would know how one should behave in the house of the living God. One needs to know how one should behave in the house of the living God. Oh, we don't so much care so much about the behavior. Who said that? Does the Word say that? The Word says something different. That's why we need to see, if we want to go on with the Lord, then there is a fire. And this fire reveals His holiness. And this fire would burn or consume everything that does not belong in the house of the Lord. It's also good. This is my outline is already falling apart. Oh, Lord Jesus. The flashing fire. Amen. The Lord does not only want to maintain us to be living like Zechariah 13:9, but He wants us to try us as through fire so that we would be holy people and a glorious people. We need to understand this today. Amen. And there's a brightness. Praise the Lord. The church must give out much light. Must be shining. The light of the Lord must shine out from us. At the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the churches are what? They're golden lampstands. What do lampstands do? They shine. Of course, we don't need much revelation to know that. We don't need explanation at all. What is a lampstand for? It's to shine. And what is the use of a lampstand that does not shine? What do you do with your flashlight if it's no longer shining? What do you do with your flashlight? Would you still keep it in your pocket and carry it around with you? Would you do that? What do you do with a flashlight that no longer shines? You would throw it away. It's totally useless. The church is a lampstand. Praise the Lord. And I'd like to ask you, and you yourself need to ask yourselves, especially the elders of the churches, the leading ones in the churches, is the church where you're at shining? Is it shining? And how many lamps are there in the lampstand? How many?
Seven.
And are all the seven lamps burning or shining? Or is only one shining? And in the end, this one lamp is not really that shining anymore. Is the light is going out already. Do you think that John wrote this vision just like that? Oh, yes, now I know. Yes, the church is a golden lampstand. What's the use of such a knowledge? Then we need to ask the Lord, Lord, why are we not shining? It's important. The brightness is there. Wherever the Lord is, it has to be burning and shining. That is the glory of the Lord. If it's not shining, can you say that, oh, our church is glorious, but it doesn't shine? There's no brightness. If there's no brightness, then you can convince no one that the church is glorious. When we all come together on the day, on the Lord's Day, what do we do? Why do you come to the meeting on the Lord's Day? I believe if you were to ask the saints, why do we come together? No one would tell you. We come together in order to shine. Have you ever heard such a thing? No? You see? So, why do you come together on Sunday? Just to sit? To listen to a message? And after that, you say, oh, the message didn't say anything to me. And then you go home and you get upset. Not like that either. Good, at least it's not like that. No, when we come together, it must shine. Everyone is filled. That is the way of the Lord. This glory is a shining glory. It's not possible that God appears and it's dark and is without light and there's no brightness. And in the end, it looked like electrum. No translation uses this word. The German translations do not use the word electron, nor does the English, very seldom in the English translation, but in the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, it uses this word electron. Also the Gesenius. In the Hebrew lexicon, it also mentioned that this word means electrum. It's an alloy. It's a natural alloy. It's a mixture of gold and silver. It's wonderful. This morning we mentioned that God created all things. That's why God can use all things, whether it be the tree of life, or the bread from heaven, or He's the Lamb of God. He's a true vine, and we are the branches. There's so many things. The Lord can use everything in order to express Him, to describe Him. He's the Lion of Judah. Behold, the Lamb of God. What is He not? He even said in the Psalms, I'm not a man, but I am a worm. Even the worm is the picture of God, because He lowered Himself so much. I'm not a man, but I'm a worm. Don't think that the worms have no meaning in the Bible. And the Lord is this bronze serpent, brass serpent. He's not the real serpent, but He is the brass serpent. Is there something that the Lord cannot use to make us clear? How rich is He and how all-inclusive is He? So the Lord could also use the metals in the Bible, gold and silver and copper and iron, all these. The Lord can use all these. Oh Lord. And here we see the electrum. That's the expression of the living God. Gold. Praise the Lord for the gold. What is the most precious thing in this universe? Is it not the living God? Everything that has to do with Him, everything that comes from Him, everything that has to do with God's nature is gold.
So gold stellt für diesen wunderbaren, kostbaren Gott des Universums.
So gold represents this wonderful and glorious God that created heaven and earth. And silver typifies the salvation, a redemption that the Lord accomplished. That typifies our Lord. He is the silver. So our God is not only 100% gold, because if He's only gold, it doesn't work. For your sake, you cannot come to this gold. If it were not an alloy of gold and silver, then you would have no part of it. For us, God, this wonderful and living God, has to be an alloy. An alloy of gold and silver. Because without the redemption, without the Lord as the Son of God, without His what He accomplished on the cross, we cannot come to the living God. Then the Lord said, no one can come to the Father except through Me. And the Lamb, when was the Lamb slain, Matthias? Before the foundation of the world. It is only manifested in time. But the Bible says, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That means, even from the very beginning, God revealed Himself as a triune God for us, because He has such a wonderful purpose. But when I hear your prayers, oftentimes it's, oh, Lord Jesus, Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. It seems like you only have silver and you don't have any gold. How much gold and how much silver? In all the prayers of the apostles, when we read the New Testament, Paul prayed to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For him, God was an alloy. He not only prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he prayed to the God and Father. But in Jesus Christ, he mentioned the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what did John say? Our fellowship is with the Son, Jesus Christ. Did he say that? With the Father alone? What else? And his Son. What is that? It's an alloy. Praise the Lord. It's that simple. How often do you say, Abba, Father? And how often do you say, Lord Jesus? And people kept saying to me, oh yes, what's the difference? The difference is between gold and silver. That's the difference. How often do you say, Abba, Father? Elia, how often do you say, Abba, Father? Once a day? And how often do you say, Lord Jesus? I don't know. Why? Because it's too often. But he says, Abba, Father. He's not even sure of it. Once a day, your alloy is 1% gold and 99% silver. It doesn't shine. It's no brightness. It's a little dull, pale. Don't you believe that? When Jesus came to this earth, when we read the Gospel of John, it seems to me that everywhere he went, he wants us to go to the Father. He wants to present to us the Father. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And what would you say? Did the Lord say, yeah, pray to me, Lord Jesus, who came to this earth. Your name be glorified. Thank you for the salvation that you accomplished for us. Did he say that? What did he say, Angelica? Our Father. That's wonderful. Don't think that it's just our Father. And in the end, after the Lord arose and Mary wanted to touch him, he said, do not touch me. I must firstly go to my Father, my God and your God, to my Father and to your Father. Did he not say that? This wonderful God is not only a triune God as a teaching to us, as like a creed to us, that our God is triune. No. We have to experience this God in His glory. We have to get to know Him. Do you have a relationship to God as your Father? It's a relationship. The Almighty, God who created heaven and earth, He's the Almighty God. So precious, so glorious. That's the gold which we need to gain. The Lord not only accomplished salvation, but He also wants to bring us to the Father. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, through Him, through Jesus Christ, we both the Jews and the Greeks, we have access through one by one Spirit to whom? To the Father. Why? Is it not good enough just to come to Jesus Christ? Why do you still need an access to the Father? Because there's where the gold is. If you want to know more of this alloy, I want to know the Father in His fullness, in His riches, in His glory. I want to see Him. Then why does the Bible say at the very end, the son who has received the kingdom, would he keep it for himself? Is that what is written in the word? What is written? He would then give the kingdom to the Father. Why? If he himself already is God,
Ist das nur eine, ich weiß nicht was.
Is that only just, I don't know what it is. Is it just a nice verse that has no meaning? He would present the kingdom to himself? Definitely not so. Then at the very end of the Bible, we see that in the New Jerusalem, that the throne is the throne of the Lamb, the throne of God. That's good. Is that good enough? It's the throne of God and what? And of the Lamb. What is that? That's an alloy. Praise the Lord. That's an alloy. That's electrum. It would electrify us. We have to see God and get to know God in such a wonderful way and have such a relationship with the Father and to learn to be obedient to Him. Father, I want to get to know You and I want to be obedient to You as just like Your Son. And I want to fulfill Your purpose. Otherwise, the Lord, as our burnt offering, it's meaningless to us. The Lord, as a burnt offering, shows us that He led such a life. He was a Son who was absolutely obedient to the Father. Right? We all need to learn this. This is the glory. Not 1% gold. Perhaps 10% and 90% silver. Do you think that's good? And many Christians today just talk about redemption, redemption, and redemption. In the end, they only have 100% silver and no electrum. What do we have here in the church? Oh, Father, Abba, Father. God is not that simple. This living God is not that simple. We need to learn to grasp Him in His fullness and be filled unto all the fullness of God. There must be such an alloy, such a mixture of silver and gold. Perhaps in the beginning there's more silver, but with time there must be more gold. You must gain more gold. That is so very important, brothers and sisters. Sometimes I think we do not have a word. We do not have the language. Human language is not able to describe this divine mystery. That's why in God's wisdom, He gave us such a vision. He gave us such a wisdom. Oh, when I close my eyes and go through the New Testament, I see an alloy. Praise the Lord. There's an alloy there. Because it's too wonderful. I want to grasp the triune God in all His fullness, in detail. When we say that we are for His glory, then we need this fullness. We need the experience. May the Lord open our eyes to show us something of this wonderful glory. And Ezekiel saw, the whirlwind came to him from the north, and the closer when it came closer, he saw it even more clearly. And he described it to us. What kind of a glory he saw from a distance. And then tomorrow morning we will then see the four living creatures. Then there are also the four living creatures. And for this evening, it's good that we go home and dream of this electrum. Oh Lord, show us such a vision of your glory. We want to grasp you. You know, brothers and sisters, when we see such a glory, then we would understand that God wants to do something in the church. God is not a static God. He has much to do. He's a dynamic God. He wants to attain something, and His work has to be accomplished. When Jesus was on this earth, He did not waste 1 minute of time. And we see in the Acts of the Apostles, even Paul and Peter, all the apostles, they went the whole way. They ran the whole race. And after this time in Europe, we became settled. We made ourselves comfortable. There's no more storm. We just have a nice breeze. We enjoy the sun. And a sister was telling me where she lives. It's always so beautiful. It's right. But in the church life, we have work to do. Because our God has much that He wants to do. May the Lord bring us into this movement, into motion, out from our comfort. Also in Vancouver, praise the Lord. There has to be a small tornado there. The Lord has to stir up everything. Praise the Lord.
So,
let us either pray or have some fellowship, sing, praise, and thank the Lord.